Lesson 12. Section 1. Dustbin Day Robbery.
Gentleman Jim has worked out a plan to rob a bank. He's telling his gang, Fingers Jones and Ginger Robertson, about the plan. Listen to their conversation.
Let's see. You're going to walk up to the counter and you're going to start writing a check. Then you're going to open the canister of nerve gas and everyone will go to sleep instantly.
That's right. This gas will put anyone to sleep for exactly 3 minutes.
And while everyone is asleep, you're going to go round to the manager's desk and steal all the money?
Exactly. I've worked it out very carefully. There should be about £50,000 in used banknotes.
Sounds great. There's only one thing. If you open the gas, you'll go to sleep too, won't you?
I have thought of that. I'll wear a motorcycle helmet with an oxygen mask inside. If I wear a helmet, no one will be able to recognise me afterwards either.
I think it's risky. If the bank clerk sees you take out a gas canister, he won't wait. He'll push the alarm button straight away.
I've just had an idea. If I came into the bank when you were standing at the counter, no one would even look at me. Then if I threw the can of nerve gas, they wouldn't guess that we were connected.
Yes, that might be better. Are you going to wear a helmet too?
No, it would look very suspicious if two people were wearing motorcycle helmets. I'll just open the door, throw in the gas canister, and leave Gentleman Jim to rob the bank.
I like that idea. Right, we'll do that. Any other problems that you can see?
What are you going to do with the money? If you walk out with £50,000 under your arm, somebody will surely notice you.
You'll be sitting in a getaway car waiting for me outside the bank.
But there's a police station just 50 yards away. If I parked a car outside the bank, the police would probably come and ask me to move.
Well, what do you suggest? He can't just walk around the town. He'll be carrying £50,000 in bundles of banknotes.
Just a minute. I've thought of something. What day is this robbery?
Monday.
Monday? You know what happens on Monday, don't you? It's dustbin day.
So,
can you think of a better way of moving the money? If you saw a man pick up £50,000 and put it into a car, what would you think?
I'd think he was a thief.
Exactly. But if you saw a man pick up a dustbin and put it into a lorry, what would you think?
I'd think he was a dustman. Hey, that's clever.
And if the £50,000 was in the dustbin, I could pick up the money and nobody would notice. That's brilliant.
Is there a dustbin?
Oh, yes, several. They put the dustbins out every Monday. They'll be standing there outside the bank.
But if you put the money in a dustbin, it'll stink. We'll never be able to spend it if it smells like that.
We don't have to put it in a dustbin. We can put it in a black plastic bag. They often have black plastic bags for rubbish nowadays. If I carry one in my pocket, I can pull it out after you've thrown the gas. Okay? Let's run through the plan once more.
You go into the bank with a motorcycle helmet on and a black rubbish bag in your pocket.
I come in a few minutes later. I open the door, throw in the open gas canister, and then go... Where?
I've hired a room in the building right opposite the bank. Go up in the lift to the top floor and keep a lookout. When you get there, radio Ginger and tell him to come.
In the meantime, everyone in the bank has gone to sleep, except you. You take the money and put it in the plastic bag.
I come out and put the bag with the rubbish and then go back into the bank.
Go back?
Oh, yes. If everyone woke up and I wasn't there, they'd know I was one of the thieves. No, I'll go back and pretend to wake up with everyone else.
Oh, that's a really clever touch.
I drive a dust cart and wait in the cul-de-sac behind the bank until Fingers contacts me. Then I come and pick up the rubbish, including the £50,000.
I can't think of any problems, can you?
Section 2. Class 1. Crime.
At long last. Why did it take you so long?
I'm sorry about this, boss.
Come on. What happened? Where's the money?
Well, it's a long story. We parked outside the bank, okay, on South Street, and I went in and got the money. You know, no problems. They just filled the bag like you said they would.
Yeah.
I went outside, jumped into the car, and off we went.
Yes, yes, yes. And then?
We turned right up Forest Road, and of course the traffic lights at the High Street crossroads were against us.
Oh.
And when they went green, the stupid car stalled, didn't it?
Hey.
I mean, it was dead.
So I had to get out and push all the way to the garage opposite the school.
Huh?
I don't know why Jimmy here couldn't fix it. I mean, the car was your responsibility, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was you that stole it, wasn't it? Why didn't you get a better one?
Okay, it was my fault. I'm sorry.
The mechanic said it would take at least 2 days to fix it.
What?
So we just had to leave it there and walk.
Well, we crossed over Church Lane, and you'll never believe what happened next. Just outside the police station, too.
Hey.
Look, it wasn't my fault. You were responsible for providing the bag. I couldn't help it if the catch broke.
It took us 5 minutes to pick up all the notes again.
Fine, fine, fine. But where is the money?
Well, get in there, boss. Anyway, we ran to where the second car was parked, outside the library in Ox Lane.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to switch cars there.
Mm.
And then, you know, this is just unbelievable.
Yeah, we drove up Church Lane, but they were digging up the road just by the church. So we had to take the left fork and go all the way round the north side of the park. And then, just before the London Road roundabout...
Some idiot must have driven out from the railway station without looking, right into the side of a lorry. The road was completely blocked.
Oh.
There was nothing for it but to abandon the car and walk the rest of the way.
All right. It's a very fascinating story. But I still want to have a look at the money.
Well, that's the thing, boss. I mean, I'm terribly sorry, but this idiot must have left it somewhere.
Who are you calling an idiot? I had nothing to do with it. You were carrying the bag.
No, I wasn't. I gave it to you.
What are you talking about?
Task 2. Shoplifter.
Excuse me, madam.
Yes?
Would you mind letting me take a look in your bag?
I beg your pardon?
I'd like to look into your bag, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm afraid I certainly do mind, if it's all the same to you. Now, go away, impertinence.
I'm afraid I shall have to insist, madam.
And just who are you to insist, may I ask? I advise you to take yourself off, young man, before I call a policeman.
I am a policeman, madam. Here's my identity card.
What? Oh. Well, and just what right does that give you to go around looking into people's bags?
None whatsoever, unless I have reason to believe that there's something in the bags belonging to someone else.
What do you mean, belonging to someone else?
Well, perhaps things that haven't been paid for.
Are you talking about stolen goods? That's a nice way to talk, I must say. I don't know what things are coming to when perfectly honest citizens get stopped in the street and have their bags examined. Nice state of affairs.
Exactly, but if the citizens are honest, they wouldn't mind, would they? So may I look in your bag, madam? We don't want to make a fuss, do we?
Fuss? Who's making a fuss? Stopping people in the street and demanding to see what they've got in their bags. Charming. That's what I call it, charming. Now, go away, I've got a train to catch.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do my job as politely as possible, but I'm afraid you're making it rather difficult. However, I must insist on seeing what you have in your bag.
And what precisely do you expect to find in there? The crown jewels?
No need to be sarcastic, madam. I thought I'd made myself plain. If there's nothing in there which doesn't belong to you, you can go straight off and catch your train, and I'll apologize for the inconvenience.
Oh, very well. Anything to help the police.
Thank you, madam.
Not at all. Only too happy to cooperate. There you are.
Thank you.
lipsticks?
Yes. Nothing unusual in that. I like to change the color with my mood.
And 5 powder compacts?
I use a lot of powder. I don't want to embarrass you, but I sweat a lot.
And 10 men's watches?
Yes. I get very nervous if I don't know the time. Anxiety, you know. We all suffer from it in this day and age.
I see you smoke a lot too, madam. 15 cigarette lighters?
Yes, I am rather a heavy smoker. And I use them for finding my way in the dark. And for finding the keyhole late at night. And I happen to collect lighters. It's my hobby. I have a superb collection at home.
I bet you do, madam. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to come along with me.
How dare you? I don't go out with strange men. And anyway, I told you I have a train to catch.
I'm afraid you won't be catching it today, madam. Now, are you going to come along quietly, or am I going to have to call for help?
But this is outrageous. I shall complain to my MP. One has to carry one's valuables around these days. One's house might be broken into while one's out.
Section 3. Task 1. Learning to rephrase.
1.
The American Indians of the Southwest have led an agricultural life since the year 1 A.D., and in some aspects their life is still similar today.
2.
At the beginning of this period, the people farmed on the tops of high, flat mountain plateaus called mesas. Mesa is the Spanish word for table.
3.
They lived on top of the mesas or in the protection of the caves on the sides of the cliffs.
4.
In their early history, the Anasazi used baskets for all these purposes. Later, they developed pottery. But the change from basket making to pottery was so important that it began a series of secondary changes.
5.
To cook food in a basket, the women first filled the basket with ground corn mixed with water. They then built a fire.
6.
But many stones could be heated on the fire and then dropped into the basket of food so it would cook. The stones heated the food quite well, but soon they had to be taken out of the food and heated again.
7.
But although the men brought home the idea of pottery, they didn't bring home any instructions on how to make it. Anthropologists have discovered pieces of broken pottery made according to different formulas.
8.
Because the Anasazi had solved the problem of cooking and storing food, they could now enjoy a more prosperous, comfortable period of life.
Task 2. Dictation.
Acupuncture. There are many forms of alternative medicine which are used in the Western world today. One of the most famous of these is acupuncture. Which is a very old form of treatment from China. It's still widely used in China today. Where it's said to cure many illnesses. Including tonsillitis, arthritis, bronchitis, rheumatism, and flu. The The Chinese believe that there are special energy lines through the body. And that the body's energy runs through these lines. When a person is ill, the energy in his or her body does not run as well as normal. Perhaps because it's weaker or it's blocked in some way. The Chinese believe that if you put very fine needles into the energy line, this helps the energy to return to normal. In this way, the body can help itself to get better. The acupuncturist puts the needles into special places along the energy line. And some of these places can be a long way from the place where the body is ill. For example, it's possible to treat a bad headache by putting needles into certain places on the foot. It may surprise you to know that it doesn't hurt when the acupuncturist puts the needles into your body. People who have had acupuncture say that they felt nothing, or hardly anything. Western doctors at first didn't believe that acupuncture could work. Now they see that it not only can work, but that it does work. How and why does it work? No one has been able to explain this. It's one of nature's mysteries.
Section 4. Enjoy your English.
Dream.